Draw your sword.
Gawain? Can Geordi be hurt by anything in the West Wing?
I don't see how. I mean, he is dead, after all.
Jordan led the way down the corridor, frowning to himself as he realized for the first time that he wasn't at all sure what he was going to do when he caught up with the steward. After what he'd seen her do in the Great Hall, his sword and conjurer's tricks weren't going to be much help. He shrugged mentally. He'd just have to improvise. And then they came to the boundary of the unreal, and they stopped dead in their tracks. The corridor had given way to a night-dark forest, lit by dancing emerald fires that burned unsupported on the air. The boles of the trees were twisted and gnarled, the whorls of bark forming horrid faces that looked at Jordan with knowing eyes. Bugs and insects the size of Jordan's hands scuttled across the ground in the thousands, forming a heaving living carpet.
Oh, this is horrible.
And this is just the edge. It'll get worse the farther we go in. Stay close beside me.
He hefted the axe the High Warlock had given him so long ago and started forward. The runes on the heavy axe head began to glow. Insects were smashed under Gawain's boots, and some ran up his legs, their antennae waving furiously. Gawain ignored them and kicked a path through the ones swarming on the ground. Jordan curled his lips in disgust. He'd never liked bugs. He tried to step gingerly around the worst concentrations, but there were just too many of them. Wee Geordi and the Bloodhound brought up the rear. Jordan didn't notice it, but the insects drew back rather than approach the young ghost and the dog. A tree grew from the ground and blocked their way. The bark oozed blood. Branches from the surrounding trees reached for him with crackling fingers of sharpened twigs. Gawain met them unflinchingly with his axe. He and his brother Vigga had held Tower Rouge against an army, and there was little left in the world that could scare him anymore. Jordan moved in beside him with his sword. They were deep in the West Wing now, and the Unreal had thrown away its masks. They were back in the corridor again, but the walls were studded with inhuman faces that disappeared when you looked at them directly, but smiled and snarled endlessly at the corner of your eyes. There were holes in the floor that fell away forever. The ceiling seemed to be miles overhead, its features blurred by distance. And in that corridor, creatures from a fever's nightmare swarmed about Daemon Cord and fought to pull him down. His clothes were torn and soaked with his own blood and others. He swung his mace with frenzied strength, but in the end, there were just too many creatures.
Daemon!
Sir Gawain charged into the midst of the creatures. His axe was a shimmering blur as it sheared through distorted shapes and constructs. Something with jagged teeth launched itself at Gawain, and he spun quickly around to bury his axe in its breastbone. The creature dissolved into thin air. Gawain grinned wolfishly. It seemed the axe's property of destroying inimical magic was working to his advantage. The runes on the steel head burned with a bright silver fire. Daemon Cord reared up from under the crowd of monsters and struck about him with his mace. Blood ran from a long scalp wound, making his face an ugly crimson mask. A crawling thing with too many legs and an insane woman's face ran down the wall to strike at Wee Geordi. Jordan saw the thing coming, but knew he couldn't hope to reach the boy in time. The very flesh fell from the monstrosity, and it collapsed in a heap on the floor. Jordan thought it a very good thing that he decided to help Geordi.
They're running away!
Phew! Jordan and Gawain stood together in the empty corridor. Daemon Cord reversed his long-handled mace and leaned on it wearily.
Thanks for the help. I couldn't have lasted much longer. That's some axe you got there, Gawain.
He glanced at the Bloodhound and raised an eyebrow.
Though this is a hell of a time to be taking your dog for a walk.
Jordan looked at Cord's blood-stained clothing and frowned worriedly.
Are you all right? Do you need a surgeon?
I'll be fine. Look, Your Highness, I'm grateful for your help, but we can't stay here. The steward and Mother Donna are up ahead, but they're in trouble. You gotta help them. I can't. The best I can do is guard your backs.
Sir Gawain nodded briskly and set off down the corridor. Blood dripped steadily from his axe. Wee Geordi hurried after him, the Bloodhound padding close at his side. Jordan was a little slow in continuing after them, and that was how he saw what happened to the dog. It was trotting along quite happily when a long, warty tentacle snapped out of the corridor wall and grabbed at the dog.
What the? Damon, did you see that?
Yeah. Passed right through your dog. This place really is lousy with ghosts.
The bloodhound padded on, unconcerned, and the tentacle whipped back into the wall.
That would explain why it kept appearing and disappearing.
Jordan started after the others and soon caught up with Sir Gawain. Cord brought up the rear, silent and scowling. The corridor continued to fluctuate around them, but although strange shapes came and went like the threads of a drifting nightmare, none of them drew near the small party. Word of Sir Gawain's axe had spread among the unreal. Jordan kept a careful watch about him, nonetheless. There was something horribly unsettling about the West Wing now, apart from the insane shifting and stirrings in the passageways. The very nature of the world seemed somehow different, as though all the old relationships, like cause and effect, were no longer valid, or at least no longer constant. You couldn't rely on left and right or up and down to mean the same things anymore. The simple everyday certainties upon which the real world is based had become confused and contradictory. Time itself appeared to become slow and sluggish, and then speeded up again. Jordan had never felt so scared in his life. It was as though he'd awakened from the worst nightmare he'd ever had, only to find he was trapped in the dream and unable to break free. He could turn and run, of course. No one was stopping him. He could run back the way he'd come and escape all this madness. No one would blame him. It was the sensible thing to do. But in the end, he only considered the thought seriously for a moment or two and then discarded it. He wasn't going to turn back. He had his pride and his dignity and his honor. He promised Wee Geordie his help, and Catriona Taggart needed him.